Romans 8, we go there. And stand with your Bibles open to Romans 8 and verse 28. And 29 and 30. If you're here today, maybe you're here and you say, Preacher Smith, I don't know all about religion and know all about church and I don't know all about salvation. And maybe you're even here and you even doubt that there's a God, or you just, maybe you're an agnostic or an atheist. I don't know what you are. But you're just not sure there's a God, or you downright don't believe there's a God. Well, I'm going to give you some stuff this morning. Only God can know this. And I want to give you some things this morning to help you. How many glad that you know there's a God? And He loves you. Romans 8, 28, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I want you to know that verse is good to give to other people, but when they give it to us, ain't no easy verse. But I'm going to try to help you with it this morning. To them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to say, brethren, sisters, you can't learn, you can't understand Romans 8, 28 if you don't know Romans 8, 29, 8, 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And them He, on whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Father, help me to make plain, so plain, these verses this morning. And I pray that you'll knock on hearts today, those that are lost, and that they'll get saved. Knock on hearts of backsliders that they'll get right. Knock on hearts of people that are hurting and even wondering, how can some of the things that's happened in my life be working to my good? God help us. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. I mentioned it in a moment ago. Don't read Romans 8, 28 without reading Romans 8, 29 and verse 30. I'm going to preach on something this morning. I'm preaching about salvation this morning. If you're here and not saved and you've never been saved, maybe you don't even have a whole lot of knowledge of what it is. Before you leave, you'll know some about what it is. And I'm going to preach this morning on the five pillars of salvation. By the way, you ever wonder why a lot of folks don't live it? Because a lot of them just don't have it. Let's quit making excuses for them. You got it, I made something happen in your life. You say, why not? I know church members that don't live it. Well, maybe they just don't have it. Because see, I'm going to paint a picture of you what it is this morning, okay? You either got it or you don't have it. I know I have it. Amen. And I want you to have it. But let's quit giving a break to these easy believers and people that have never had a change and they live like a devil 6 days a week and make a little appearance on Sunday as if they're saved. I know I'm straight preaching. I want to tell you, I wouldn't give you a nickel for salvation didn't do something for you. Amen. Oh, I didn't know I was getting on that, brother. Let me give you five things. Five. You said, preacher, what's your life built on? What's your salvation built on? What's kept you saved all these 45 years? What's kept you going for 45 years? What you resting on anything? Anyway, I'm not resting on me. I want you to know that. I'm not resting on my holding on or my hoping so or my maybe so. I ain't resting on none of that. I'm resting on the fact of Almighty God who has got five great pillars of salvation. So let's start it. Let's just start it. Said, how in the world does all things work together? Don't you know all the bad stuff in this world, preacher? You know what? Our kind of God can take all the bad stuff and bring something good out of it anyhow.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Five things I want to give you this morning. I want you to just look at the Bible with me. I hope you got one close to you. For whom He did foreknow. I want to talk about that first of all. I want to call that the supreme wisdom of God. I want you to know something. Man did not plan salvation. Salvation was planned before the foundation of the world. God Almighty in the eternal counsel of before anything was ever made, plan your salvation. Whew. The word foreknow is from a word. It's progensko. And we get our little word prognosis from that word. And I want you to know something, that a lot of people make prognosis, weather people. By the way, don't plan a wedding trusting in weather people. Is Adam Hallerton here today? We had a wedding for Adam, 5 years ago? Six? Almost seven. And boy, they planned. We were going up above Beckley, and one of the great parks there, and we had rehearsal and poured the rain down. And by the way, I didn't check the weather, Jeff, and it said it was going to be beautiful that weekend. But you can't trust weather people because they ain't right half the time in their prognosis. So we went up there and poured the rain down, and then lo and behold, we woke up the next day and there's 3 inches of snow up there. And they called me up and said, this thing's on. Don't you leave, preacher. It's on. We're still having it outside. So I had the suit on about like this and went out to Walmart and got some Fat Boy long underwear. For the top and the bottom. So we get up there and I'm ready to go. Then they said, nope, we're having it inside. It was 775 degrees in there. And I'm in long-handled underwear. I'm starting to do a wedding. And I'm really getting about it. You remember, and sweat was coming off of me. Somebody said, what are you sweating about? If you had a long-handled underwear in and 775-degree temperature, you'd be sweating too. See, those folks, listen, when they make a prognosis, they wrong about half the time. And by the way, how many's ever went to a doctor and they give you a prognosis? Come on now. And there you go to the doctor and their prognosis, you know, it might be good and it might be bad. I never forget the guy that went to the doctor one time and had a physical, and the doctor was a Christian and he had a physical, and the guy had a physical, and he was in there waiting on the thing, and the doctor came out to him and he said, before I tell you the results, I want to ask you a question. Just went through all that. If you die today, do you know you're going to heaven? What a question by a doctor. The guy said, I don't know. Doctor led him to Christ. And then he looked at him. He said, am I all right? Oh, he said, you'll probably live for 45 more years. And see, they just don't always get it right. But I want you to know something. I've got a God that isn't on a guessing game. Nor does he act by a whim. He knows everything. Amen. He knew I was going to get saved. Somebody ought to shout right there. See, let me illustrate it this way. I'm trying to go on. I'm having a good time this morning. Let me illustrate it this way. How many's ever been to a parade? Raise your hand. Have you ever been to a parade? Raise your hand. I've been to parades. I've been to Charleston. Have parades. And you know, when you go down on ground level in a parade, you know what you see? You see one float, then the next float, then the next float, then the next float. And you see things by, in the way, you know, that's the way history is. We look at history one event after another event. But I went to one parade. I was in Springfield, Missouri. And this businessman said, I want you to go to our parade. I said, oh man, I hate going to praise down there on the bottom. People, 1,000 people over top of you sweating. He said, oh no. He said, preacher, I got it. I'm going to take you to the best restaurant in Springfield. I said, keep talking. He takes me up 30 stories. I'm up in this thing that goes in a circle. I mean, it was awesome. Man, filet mignon. Grilled shrimp, loaded baked potato. Let's stop this thing and go home. All right. I mean, it was something. He said, we ate real quick and I ate my dessert. And he said, well, let's watch the parade. And they had us right over next to the window, 30 stories up. And guess what? I looked down over the parade. I saw the first float. And I saw the last float. I saw everything in between. Because, see, I was up here. You know why we have a lot of trouble with what goes on in our lives? We're seeing it from down here. Look at me. You've been through a lot lately. You know how you're looking at things? You're looking at things from down here. But God don't look at things from down here. He looks at things from up there. And He knows the beginning from the end. He's Alpha and Omega, the first, the last. He's wise. And I want to tell you, thank God for my salvation that's built on the wisdom of God. I spend too much time on that point. Let me hurry. Number two, are y'all following me in your Bible? Look in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. Secondly, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Number two, the sovereign will of God. Whew. There's a lot of theologians, when they get to this passage of scripture, their motor starts running fast. Let me give you a definition of predestination. Predestination is the effective exercise of the will of God by which things before determined by Him are brought to pass. He said, I'm determined to do it, and He did it. But let me say this to you. He did not predestinate anybody to be saved or to be lost. Bunch of hyper-Calvinist devils. They make me about half mad. Can I sin sin for a second? That's a heresy. You're saying God loves you and I'm going to send you to heaven. Or just going to take you and you're going to hell. You ain't got no choice in the matter. That's as far away from the Bible as you can get. I'm about ready to shout. He didn't predestinate anybody to get saved, but he predestinated everybody that are saved, that's going to be saved, he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his son. What that means is the day you got saved, it's automatic, friend. You're going to heaven and you're going to be like Jesus. Amen. Somebody wave at me if that's good stuff to you. Hey, man, let me give you a verse. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom for what? He's not willing that any should perish, but all, that all would what? Come to repentance. Hey, by the way, if you're not saved, it's not that you can't be saved. It's you won't be saved. It's your stubborn will. And I know Calvinists are about ready to die. Won't you send every Calvinist you know this tape and just let it singe them a little bit? You just send it to them. And hey, people die and go to hell, and it's not because they can't or they're predestinated to hell. It's because you won't believe. Because see, as soon as you believe, you're responsible. And you're, by the way, whether you like it or not, you're responsible anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember the story. They had these two theological camps. You know, there's all kinds of camps. I don't want to bust the Southern Baptists too hard, but they're going so fast into this Calvinism and contemporary music, it's sickening. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Somebody just start telling the truth about it, amen. Let me tell you about these two camps. Well, this one fella said he's trying to decide which camp go in. He wanted to go into the free will man camp or the sovereign grace camp. So he chose the sovereign grace crowd. And we got over there, and they said, why'd you come? Well, he said, because I want to. Well, they said, you're in the wrong camp. Then he went to the second camp, and they said, why'd you come? He said, because they sent me. Well, you're in the wrong camp. I want you to know something. I'm not in a camp today. I'll tell you what I am. I'm in a whosoever will thing this morning. I want you to know something. You want God to love the whole world. I know the Calvinist got it cracked says, read John 3:16 again. I don't have to read it. I know it in my heart. God so loved the world. The world means you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that's you. Number three, let me hasten. Man, oh my, I'm just trying to preach this to you. Number three, y'all still with me? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also what? Called. Well, I like that. What's the word call mean? It means to be summons. Hey, there, how many of y'all remember? Come on. I'm putting out you people don't live right. Don't even tell me when you got saved. I don't think you are anyway. So let's leave you out for a minute. How many of you remember when you got summons by God? And God put you under conviction. You know why a lot of people are not really saved? They never got under old-timey conviction, or they confused conviction for conversion. Because I want to tell you something. You're saved. You're going to know you're saved. My preacher. I remember I got under. The high sheriff come after me. You said, well, how'd he do it? Did he come up here and, you know, John, please, John, absolutely not. You okay?
I'm good, yeah.
No, that ain't what he done. See, you're trying to measure your salvation by some experience. Tell you what he done. He just came to me and showed me that I was a dirty, rotten sinner. He showed me my sin and reproved me of my sin and showed me how vile I was.
Amen.
You said, how'd that happen? Anyhow, well, Bible says this. Whoa! 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chose you to be to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel. You said, how did it happen, preach? The gospel was preached. Holy Ghost done His work. I believed, and it's done. Here it is. It's the supreme wisdom. God thought your salvation up. Then He said, once you get saved, it's going to be automatic. You're going to be conformed to my son. But I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you why. Listen to me. If you're in here lost, you know what you're getting right now? You're getting the gospel. You said, what is the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection of Christ. It's not the death, burial, resurrection, and speaking in tongues. I know they got this thing called full gospel. Well, I couldn't got it any fuller than I got it. I got it all. I got the whole, I'm a whole lot better shape than they are. They had to go through a sanctification process to get the Holy Ghost. And they had to go through a second baptism to get the Holy Ghost. And then they had to, somebody had to teach them how to talk in tongues. I want you to know something. I didn't go through all that class. All I didn't know is that He came unto me and convinced me. And once I was lost, and now I'm found. Once I'm blind, now I see. Somebody help me right here. He sent the seeking word. Number four, I got to hurry. Woo! Then He called. Then He also what? Justified. That's the saving work of God. Mm-hmm. Romans 4:6 says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. Without works. Somebody help me. Therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Listen, you can't work to be saved. You can't be good enough to be saved. All you need to do is say, I'm an old sinner. I'm lost. I'm trusting you. Am I preaching the gospel? I ain't stopping. I'm done with this last one. Woo! I'm so saved. It's pitiful, you know. It's wonderful. Let me give you the last one. How many of y'all still with me? Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Then He also called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. I call that the settled ways of God. He did not say He will glorify. No, He said, it's settled. Look at me. You say, well, what is glorification anyway? It's when you get a new body like Christ. Somebody wave at me. How many's looking forward to that day when you don't have to live in this vessel anymore? Now listen to me. If you've got any doubts about it right here, I'll clamp you down. Listen to this. You know what glorification is? It's me having a new body like Christ. You say, well, you ain't got it yet. He said, I did. He said, what He's saying is, you're going to get it. And I've already predestined it. I've already determined it. You are going to get a new body. You are. It's already done, by the way. I mean, I woke up this morning and had this tingling in my shoulder. And I've been having it for 2 weeks. And I know it's because of this old nature, but I was kind of thinking this morning about 3 o'clock in the morning. It woke me up. I was thinking this morning, what a day it'll be when I get my new body. Then I read what I just read to you, that in God's mind I'm going to get it. That settles it. That means the devil can't keep me from heaven. Nothing can keep me from heaven. Death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, "Oh no, preacher, I can't. I can't. Preacher, but I can give it back. I can give it back." Have you lost your morals? You're in Christ. And you can't get out because you're sealed. Somebody say, "Yeehaw, something." It's settled. See, I've got 5 pillars under me. I've got 5 pillars under me that says ain't nothing going to get me into hell.
That's right.
My hope is built on nothing less save Jesus and His righteousness. I don't care if you've got your name on every church book in America. If it's not in heaven, you're going to hell. And if you don't have something to rest it on, what's yours on? The supreme wisdom of God. Ha ha. The sovereign will of God. You get baptized when you set this close. Amen.
Amen.
The seeking word of God. The saving work of God. And the settled ways of God. Somebody ought to run and shout. Won't you let loose her hand a little bit just for a minute. Give me 5 right there. Give me 5. All right. Now you can come back. I've been wanting to do that for 2 weeks. I'm kidding. Okay, I'm mad. Go ahead, son. You're all right. I was 12 when I started that, okay? You coming back tonight, aren't you? Okay. I heard your mom said, "Keep it up, keep it up." Your name's Morgan, isn't it? Hey, how many preachers know your name after only meeting you once? Can I illustrate something? I know your name. I met you once. God knew you. Knows you before the world began. How many believe that's big? Somebody. Somebody. Oh, somebody help me. It's not salvation. Not an afterthought of God. It's a it's a plan of God. Give me 5 right there, child. Man, I'm about to go nuts right now. That's why I know all things work together for the good. Hey, Judy, I know you've been through all kinds of stuff, but I know all things work forever for the good. And now George is experiencing everything I'm preaching this morning. And guess what? We get to join him one of these days. And we're going to join I'm going to join my daddy. I'm going to join my mama. I'm going to join my neighbor. Somebody help me. If all you came for is a sermon at the Christianettes who smoke cigarettes, then you came to the wrong place. I'm preaching the book this morning. But what I'm upset about, y'all got it this morning. There's some of you already thinking, "I got to find a way out of here so I don't have to face up with it." Well, you have to face up with it now because you've heard the truth. You got to come face to face with it now. And you might walk out that door, but you know what you're doing? You say, "Well, I'm uncommitted." No. You are committed. You just said no to God. Calvinists say you can't, but I say you can. And don't you say no to God. You trust Christ. Now you're here with me. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I heard the gospel today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. This ain't game time. This is serious time. How many right now say, "Preacher, if I die today, it's not because my name's at Taze Valley Baptist. And it's not because my mama raised me in the nursery all the way up to my age right now. No, preacher. I got under conviction. I got saved and got changed. How many of you know that? Raise your hand. Hold them high if you know. If you don't raise them. Thank you. How many right now say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. Oh, but for the first time, I've really seen what the gospel is. And preacher, I want you to pray for me. I couldn't raise my hand, but I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm responsible. How many right now say, preacher, before I die, before the Lord comes, I want to know I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure of that right now. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I ain't going to embarrass you. I see that hand over there, sir. I see it, sir. I ain't going to embarrass you. I just want to talk to you. Devil put all kinds of lies in your mind to try to get you away from this. How many others that couldn't raise your hand and say, Preacher Smith, I want to be saved. Just sip it up right now and let me pray for you. Nobody's looking. Sir, you that raised your hand. Look up here, will you? That dear fellow, you raised your hand. Look at me. God bless you, sir. If you'd like to get saved today, I believe you would. Ain't no use you dying and going to hell. I want you to sit by your seat here just a second. Come up here and let them take a Bible and show you how to be saved. God brought you here. His wisdom brought you here today. You're here today to get saved. Stand. Stand with me. You that raised your hand said, I'm lost. I need to be saved. You ought to get up here right now. Come on right now. Our Father. Lord, I give all I got this morning. I pray for that dear man that says he needs to be saved. Holy Ghost, get on him real good. Show him his sin. Show him hell. But take him to Calvary and show him what you've done. And summons him this morning to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Sir, come on. Ma'am, come on. Young person, come on. Lord God, you ought to
there's mercy.
Come on.
The Lord.
Come on. You know, I'm so reluctant to walk out that door knowing those people raise your hand and said you're lost. I don't want you to die and go to hell. Those folks here, you didn't raise your hand either way. I want you to die and go to hell. You say, well, God, why would he let me go to hell in the first place? He ain't letting you go anywhere. You're going there because you're rejecting the gospel.